Okay, you're listening to Amud Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, and as we just noted, the Rav had a perfect Amud yesterday, top to bottom, first word to last word. Let us continue in the Gemara. I'm sure Gavi was very happy yesterday that we finally left the sugyos of dreams. We still have the Amud we have ahead of us tonight is. So I guess I'll preface with an important comment. This is not a halacha shir, so we're going to mention a lot of brachos that we've probably never heard of and not aware of, and we've probably never even seen somebody else say. That doesn't mean that it's not halacha to say them. So I'll give some halachic insights, like background to some of the discussions, but bottom line halacha is going to have to be you have to check out the Shulchan Aruch. On some of these brachos, and you can ask Rav Cohen, but we're going to be introduced at least to the concept of various brachos that you've probably never heard anybody say. Starting with the second line, right? So let's take it from the top. Tana Rabbanan learned in the Braisa, Haroa Bate Yisrael B'Yeshuvan, somebody who sees the houses of Yisrael in their settlement, meaning being settled, which makes us recall, though it's not literally talking about this necessarily, the shul, which Mirz Hashem will be settled very soon, we'll be living in it. But these Batei Yisrael seem to be some prominent homes of Jewish people, and that they're properly settled. Omer, you say a brach on this, when you see these settled homes. Baruch Matziv Gvul Almana Bechor Banan. Blessed, like, meaning Baruch, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, presumably, Blessed Hashem, that matziv gvul almana bechorbanan, that he stands up like a matzeva, he establishes the boundaries of the widow in her destruction, in their destruction, the widow being Eretz Yisrael. So it's a reference, Rashi says over here, kegon b'yeshuv b'yesheni. He says b'yesheni, right, because Yerushalayim didn't become a widow, Eretz Yisrael didn't become a widow until after Churban Bayis Rishon in the first exile. So only then does she become a widow, and then the widow in the destruction having this settling again, that is referred to as this. That is the Batei Yisrael B'Yeshuvan, and there's a bracha to be made for that. So what exactly does this mean? What is it talking about? A shul? Is it only in Eretz Yisrael? Is it in Chutz Laaretz as well? Is it shul, or is it any house of a well known house of a gvir or anything like that, or a from public official? So that these are discussions in the poskim, the parameters of this halachically speaking. I translated that. I broke it up correctly. So it's matziv gvul almana, right? That's what it is. Bechor banan, if you see them not be shuvan, but bechor banan, the gvul almana that was not established, it's in its destruction. So there, Omer Baruch Dayan HaMS. You say Baruch Dayan HaMS, which we've discussed a couple of times already in this Masechta. Bracha on Shmuos Raos, on bad tidings, right? Of course, death famously, but really a lot of bad news will require Baruch Dayan HaMS. And seeing something like this, seeing it could be even destroyed buildings from the Chorban Beis Hamikdash will require this bracha. Bate Ovde Kochavim B'Yeshuvan. If you see the houses of Ovde Kochavim in their settlement. And over here, we're going to see that we see this term a lot, especially over the last couple of lot, speaking about Ovdei Kochavim, and it's not clear what it's always talking about. Sometimes it means Stam Gai, and sometimes it means idolaters. And sometimes they're used, the term could be used interchangeably, which makes it confusing, because sometimes they're like, there's often a very big nafgamina of real idolaters and just Gentiles, so we'll see a few mentions on this Amud, and some of them will be more obvious, some of them less obvious what it's referring to. So if you see the homes of these of the Kochavim B'Yeshuvan, Omer Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem, right? Talks about this Beis Geyim, right? A house of the arrogant ones. And that Hashem should take them apart to uproot them. meaning it's a request. So probably it's like, it's not, you know, it's probably not just a stum, a non-Jew's house, so we want to destroy it. Probably it's a base of Avodah Zarah of some sort. Unclear if it's actually a base of Avodah Zarah. I think there's also discussion in the post-Gim with a base of Avodah Zarah, or if it's it's the home of idolaters, but not just regular non-Jews. We don't want that. B'Korbanon, if you see the destruction of these, Omer, you say, Kel Nekavos Hashem, Kel Nekavos Sophia, right? Which is from the Shir Shalom of Wednesday, we read this morning. So it's praising Hashem's revenge on these places that deserve the revenge. Ula v'Rav Chizda havu ka'azli ba'urcha. Ula v'Rav Chizda, we're going on the road. Kimatu apischa debei Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. When they came, they passed by the door of the home of Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, which we'll speak about in a moment. Nogod Rav Chizda v'isnach. Right, Vasnach, that Rav Chizda let out with this big groan. Amalei Ula, my come Misnachat, why did you let out that big groan? And then we're gonna give two sources that it's not a good thing to groan. Vama Rav Anacha Shaveris Chatzi Gufo Shel Adam. Rav says that a groaning breaks a half of a person. Right, Shenemar Ve'ata Ben Adam He'anech B'Shivron Masnai V'Gomer. So a pasuk that seems to indicate that it breaks a person. Rabbi Yochanan said Af Kol Gufo Shel Adam Shenemar V'Haya Ki Yomrei Lecha Al Ma'ata Na'anach V'Amarta El Shemua Ki Ba V'Namas Kol Le V'Gomer. Right. So here's another pasuk that indicates an even stronger expression of groans causing rooting a person. So obviously, it's what type of groan are we talking about? Like a really deep, painful groan. You know, sometimes groaning is actually healthy, you know, to some degree, certain like letting off of steam and energy, but there's certain types of groans that have a negative impact on somebody. Amarlei, so you explain to him, how can I not groan? Beis is a havu ba shitin afaisa b'yamama v'shitin afaisa b'lelia. A home that used to have 60 bakers, right, in Ofa, 60 bakers in the day and 60 bakers at night. And they would give anybody who needed. And he himself, this Rav Chanina, what was it? I lost his name. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. There's two lashons of Chain there, right? If you see his name in a dream, that's a double good sign, right? Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. So anyway, So the Usman Zasar, anybody who needed, they had plenty of food, round the clock food for people who needed. Velo shakli yada min kisa, and he wouldn't take his hand. His hand was constantly in his purse of money. Disavar, because he thought dilma ase ani bar tovim. Maybe an ani bar tovim, a poor person with a more chashiv yichus, right? So he fell in tough times. Will come v'admatalei the kisa kol michsif, and if he would come to me in that time that my hand is coming into the purse kol machsif, he's going to be embarrassed. So I heard so two pshatim in this that. Basically, he kept his hand in his purse constantly to have the money ready. Why? So that either the poor person wouldn't like run away in the interim because like the, you know, while he's taking the time to stick his hand in, the poor person's going to be too embarrassed because again, this person was going to be more sensitive because he has chashiv yichus, and so that extra few seconds it's going to take him, he's just, never mind, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz, I listened to it, he said about this, he understood it as being that, not that he was going to run away, but just those moments of extra pain for somebody who was more chashiv, even that he wanted to avoid. So he constantly kept his hand like in his wallet to make sure he could have super quick access to his money to give to tzedakah. So we're talking about a very high quality baal tzedakah, baal chesed here. V'suha v'psichin le arba bave the arba ruchasa da alma, and he would have his home opened. He had four entrances at the four directions of the world. Sounds a lot like, right? Alter Zeda, Avin Mavino. Avichoda hava ayol kafin nafik sava. And anybody who would come in kafin, who would come in hungry, nafik kisava, he would go out satisfied, satiated. Vahabu shadile chite v'sa'ari v'shneya b'tzores avarai. And they would throw out chitim and sa'orim, wheat and barley, in the years of batsoris, years of famine, avarai. They would throw them outside, out the window. Because anybody who would be embarrassed to come to him during the day, they would go and collect it by night. So they threw food out of their window. So anybody who wanted food and wasn't embarrassed could come in right away and take. Those who were embarrassed, they'd be able to collect food at night without anybody seeing. So it's incredible the sensitivity that they had for the people they were giving tzedakah to. That this whole Rav Chana Baruch Ani Eloi. So this person, and Hashta Nafal Batala, and now this it fell in a mound like a tala, right? Shnafal Lovanasa Tal says Rashi came like it's like a mound, it's like a big mound of bricks. It's no longer a home anymore. Falo Isnach, and I shouldn't groan for what happened to the home of this incredible Baal Chesed, a home that was a home of Chesed. Amar Lei, he said to him, Hachem Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Yochanan said, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Nigzar Gzera Al Batein Shal Tzadikim Sheyecharovu. That there was that from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a Gzera that went out on the homes of the Tzadikim, that they should also be destroyed. Shneamar Bosnei Hashem Tzvakosim Lo Batim Rabim Lishma Yu Gedolim V'Tovim Me'ayin Yoshev. Right, so this is a guarantee from Yeshayahu that it's going to happen to the Gedolim, to the right and the Tovim, that they're not going to have a place to live. Their houses are going to be destroyed with the Korban Bayis. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan said also though, Asid Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'achzir on the Yeshuvan, but ultimately Hashem is going to return them to their settlement. Shenamar Shir Hamalas LaDavid Abotchem B'Hashem Har Tzion Ma Har Tzion, just like Har Tzion. Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lach Zero Yeshuva Af Batein Shal Tzadikim Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lach Zero Yeshuvan. So good news. It kind of recalls the last Gemara in Makos, the Rabbi Akiva, that he kind of where he sees the negative prophecies that gives faith about the positive prophecies. So he says, look, this is an indication that Hashem fulfilled the negative prophecies. So also we know there's a promise that it'll be returned. So don't worry. Chazaya delo meshadate. But he saw that it didn't settle his mind. He was not impressed with that answer. He was still very down upon this horrible sight. Which point? So I think it was Ula. He got a little bit tougher with him. Amrle said, "Dial the eved shehe karabo. It's enough that an eved should be like his master." Right, Rashi clarifies what he means over there. Second line of Rashi, Shahari Besimikdash Kharav Shu Besi Shakaras Parahu. He says, listen, you're like overly broken about this house of Rav Chana Baruch Ani Eloi. What about his master's house, the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, so there should be limits. If you're not this distraught about the Beis HaMikdash, the house of the master, so you could take it easy. You can minimize the how being distressed over the house of just Eved, Rav Chana Baruch Ani Eloi. It's meaning that when we're talking about, you know, obviously there's something, you know, groaning and being upset. It's true. There is a chilul Hashem in that of the destruction of this home. But there are limits to how much grief you should have and not with the grief of the Chorban HaBayis. Again, this is not. It wasn't right after this. The house was destroyed. The house was destroyed for a while, but just it recalled it. Meaning, you know, we don't tell an Avel. You know, stop it. Someone right who's an onay, someone just passed away. You know, stop being miserable. The Beis HaMikdash, you should cry about the Beis HaMikdash, not about, you know, your father's mother. You know, like, you know, we don't say that obviously, but there's a certain limit after that initial shock and the pain of the event that there should be some limitation. You know, especially if we're thinking about the korban of others, we should also think about the korban of bias. Okay, and that's the end of that story. Tanu Rabba, and we learned in a braisa, Haroa Kivri Yisrael Omer Baruch Asher Yotzar Eschem Bedin Vizan Eschem Bedin. So when you see the graves of Jewish people, You should say, blessed are you, Hashem, who formed you, I guess talking to the bodies, bedin, in judgment, and v'zon eschem, and bedin, and sustained you in judgment, v'chalkel eschem, and also provided nourishment for you, bedin, v'asaf eschem, but also gathered you in for death, bedin, v'asid, and in the future, la'kimechem bedin, he's going to help make you rise in din. Now this is a bracha that you're supposed to say when you go to a cemetery. I think maybe if you don't see a cemetery, and if you haven't been in a cemetery in 30 days, or you don't see a cemetery in 30 days, I'm not sure. This is the bracha that I think should be said. Again, you should take a look in the Shulchan Aruch to confirm. But this is a bracha. It's a discussion of if it's kivrei. So is it for two kvarim, or what if it's just one? One place is buried. Nowadays, it's not so practical because most of the time we see in a cemetery multiple Jews buried in one place. Okay, Mar Bereder Ravina Masayim Bosh Mishmeder Rav Nachman. Right, so, and this is how he would end off the bracha. V'yodea mispar kulchem, and he know the numbers of all of them. Right, the v'hu asid lahachayoschem, and he in the future will bring you back to life. L'kayim eschem, and mekayim you. Baruch mechayei hameisim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who brings the dead back to life. A bracha of the guarantee of tchiz meisim. Kivri of dechachavim, if you see the graves of idolaters, Omer, busha imachem v'gomer. It's a pasuk we quoted earlier, I believe. Right? It's a pasuk that says your mother should be embarrassed. Right? Busha imachem ma'od, chofre yalad etzchem. It's a pasuk early on in Yirmiyahu, talking about the disgrace of idolaters. Amar Bishu ben Levi, Rabbi Shu ben Levi says, Ha'roa eschaver l'achar shloshim yom, Omer baruch shachiyan v'kimon v'gimon v'gimon v'gimon. That if you haven't seen your friend in 30 days, a friend that you're really happy to see after you haven't seen him for 30 days, you say Hashachiyanu, right? That, so we don't. So this one actually, I think halacha we hold, you do not do this. Well, let's read the next one. La'achar yud beis chodesh, after 12 months, Amar baruch mechayeh hameisim. You say the bracha of mechayeh hameisim if you haven't seen somebody in a year. The reason for this, it's brought down. The poskim say that nowadays we don't really do this anymore, at least not with Shem Hashem. But I've gotten the bracha twice from people without Shem Hashem, bruch mechayeh meisim, because we actually haven't seen a lot of people that we know in a very long time, right? You know, for some people in 3 months. I just saw somebody in Minyan yesterday I haven't seen in 3 months, and. I think every day I've been seeing somebody I haven't seen in close to 3 months. So it's coming up a lot more at this point. Now, that's 3 months, not 30 days. There's a 30-day and year distinction here. But what it is, the post, I know Ravadja speaks about it and others as well, that back in the day, when you wouldn't see somebody for a long time, you really didn't know if they were necessarily alive. Nowadays, you know, you have calling, texting, WhatsApp, all kinds of social media, Zoom. How can I not mention Zoom over Zoom? So we're constantly in contact with people, and it's also in Baruch Hashem, it's not as dangerous of a world as it used to be. People traveling. You know, we don't appreciate it like a tefilas aderech or a brachas agomel. But back then, traveling was not a pushy thing. So really, if you didn't see someone for a long time, it could actually be they're dead, and someone is. You see them after a year. Like you, mom, it's a tchiz amesim. At least from my standpoint. So but nowadays it just we're so much in contact that we don't have that as much anymore. So you don't really hear people say it with shame malchus.
That's also one of the reasons why the Bavli yeshivas actually ended up moving, because the roads were so dangerous.
Where did they move to?
Around. I'm saying when the bubble yeshivas got destroyed or just stopped happening.
Yeah, I mean we're seeing a lot of that stuff. Just how different it was living in Bavel 1800 years ago. I mean, I'm sure I don't know how safe it is in Iraq nowadays either. Definitely back then, traveling on the roads, really anywhere was not so posh. Okay, so these are interesting brachos that we don't actually make, at least not with Shem Malchus, But you know, I think it would be appropriate to say Bruch Mechayim Eisim if you see, haven't seen somebody in a long time. But it, you know, that to say that Amar Rav Ein Hameis Mishtakach Min Alev El Achar Shneo Sar Chodesh. A dead person is not forgotten from somebody's heart until after a year. Shnemar Nishkachti Kameis Milev Hayisi Kekli Oved. Like a lost kli. So right, it's compared to a mace, and so really it's 12 months after a mace is forgotten from somebody's heart. Now, obviously, this has to be you know, taken with a grain of salt. We're not going to have the time to discuss everything here, but it doesn't mean that you forget somebody, and if somebody passes away, the pain doesn't necessarily go away, and the memories don't go away. But there's a concept of some degree a person is out of somebody's conscience. After a year, and that's part of why the Mechayei Meisim will take effect. I mean, he's saying this stam, but also it connects to what we're talking about. Okay, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. Rav Papa Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Havu Ka'azli Ba'orcha Pagu Bei Barabi Chanina Bered Rav Ika Amrulei Bahadid. So right, Rav Papa and Rav Huna were Bered Rav Yeshua were going on the road, and they encountered Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Ika. Amrulei, they said to him, Bahadi de Chazina, as we see you, Berachina Nolach Tarti. We have two brachos to make on you. Bruch Asher Chalak Mechamasli Reyav, Veshachianu. First of all, you're a tremendous Talmud Chacham. I want to give you a bracha. I want to bless Hashem for that. And Shachianu, because we haven't seen you in a month. Amar Lehu, he said to them, An Onami Kevan de Chazinachu Chashvitinachu. I also want to say this, because that when I see you, I consider you guys like 600,000 members of Klai Yisrael. Ubarichna Aleichu Tlasa. I want to say three brachos on you. Tarti Baruchah Hamarazim. The two that you mentioned, and I also want to say Baruchah Hamarazim. Right, we learned that yesterday. The bracha you make when you see 600,000 Jews in one place. So over here he says, you guys are like considered like 600,000 Jews. I want to make the third bracha on you. The two you want to make on me. And then, okay, here it gets interesting. Really, they said to him, Chakim Askoliha, yeah, you think you're so smart? Yahivid Bey Ainaihu Vishachiv. They laid their eyes on him and he died. So it started off as a much more pleasant encounter than it turned out to be. What is going on here? I'll tell you a couple of pshatim, I still have to think about it and do some chazaras on it. Basically, so two pshatim is that he was presumptuous in some way by suggesting this bracha. Either presumptuous because that he was creating a halachic thing that didn't exist. There's no tanaic basis for one person who's considered like 600,000. So you're so smart that you're innovating a new way to make a bracha that the Tanaim never did, right? Or something much more esoteric, which is that there are certain people that actually are considered to be on this level of 600,000 people, right? The Chacham Harazim, that there's like this, there's people with the depth and wisdom of 600,000 people. But in order to know that, you have to be a big deal to be able to see that in somebody else. So if these people I forgot who says this, but if you see somebody else, so if you say somebody else has this chachma of 600,000 people, you're claiming yourself to be such a big deal that you're able to see it. You know, like somebody who says, like, you know what, you're a classy guy. What they're essentially saying is that they're classy, right? Like I know class, because I'm classy, and you have it. So it's kind of an arrogant comment, right? Sometimes when you compliment somebody, so here too, you're saying I see in you guys that you are 600,000 yidden. So they said, are you so smart? You're so presumptuous. You're right. We are, but you're so presumptuous to say that you see that, you have the genius to see that, and then some sort of Ayin Hara or some sort, but again, the explanations require explanations as well. Mirtz Hashem and our Chazaras and looking into other Mefarshim. Okay, so that encounter did not end as nicely as it started. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Haro es Habahakanim. somebody who sees people who are, have bahakin, who spots, spotted people. Omer Baruch Mishaneh HaBrios. You make the bracha Mishaneh HaBrios, which is the bracha of Hashem making, blessed Hashem, who creates different creatures, or makes differences in creatures. So if you see a person, we'll have to clarify something at the end of this discussion, but we're going to talk about people seeing other human beings with certain deformities, differences. So it says over here that people who are spotted, you make a Mishaneh HaBrios on them. Meisrei, is that true? But we have a brisa that says, really, as a kushi, somebody who sees a kushi, which literally is typically translated as Ethiopian, but figuratively throughout Chazala and modern Hebrew, it means just a black person. Lavdak from Ethiopia, from Africa, African American. The term kushi could apply to all of them. So, but I heard from Ravari Leibowitz that it doesn't mean a kushi, because we're going to mention a few different things. Also, vesa gichor, somebody who's red, who's like ruddy, who has a red complexion, very red complexion. Vesa lavkum, somebody who's white, meaning like an albino person. Vesa kipeach, and somebody who is very, very, like very obese, like incredibly obese. Vesa nanas, and a dwarf. Vesha darnikos. So I think there's different pshatim in darnikos. It's different possible deformities. Rashi says roda shlosha achar piv akum. Right. So it's a few different possible things. It could be it's somebody who's particularly tall, or somebody who has like a cleft lip, or somebody who has like some sort of warts of some sort. But anyone of these deformities, Omer he says baruch mishaneh es abrios. Bless Hashem who's mishaneh es abrios. One thing I'll note here, actually, I just noticed now, I didn't notice when I first did it, is that this is Mishana Es Abrios as opposed to Mishana HaBrios, so the word S is there. But anyway, one who sees one of these people, you make Mishana Es Abrios. So the Kushi thing is really surprising, right? If you see, like, is that really such a difference? Is that, meaning most of them are like stranger things, like an albino person, a particularly red complexion person, a dwarf, those are more rare things. If you see an Ethiopian or an African American or an African, so the world is filled with countries made up of people with this skin color. So when I read that, I was surprised. Ravari Leibowitz said that it's a kushi that's born to like to white parents, meaning that it's not that it's their race. It's that it's like a deformity that results in that complexion. I forgot whom he quoted or if he quoted anybody who said that. But anyway, so when you see one of these changes in a human being, you say this bracha. But somebody who, an amputee, that's a suman, a blind person. V'es psuye harosh, v'es somebody who has psuye harosh, like his hair looks like it's like flattened, shesaro kinimta kolsaro davuk zebazeh, something with his hair flattened. I don't know exactly what Rashi is saying. That's a chiger, and somebody who is lame, possibly an amputee in their legs, but who's lame. That's hamuka shchin, somebody who is afflicted with really bad boils. That's habakanim, and with somebody who has these spots. Omer Baruch Dayan Emes. You say Baruch Dayan Emes. So the contradiction is that first we said Mishana Brios on one of these spotted people, but now we see that this brisa puts the spotted person on the Dayan Emes list. So Lo Kasha Ha Meme'e Imo. This one is from the innards of his mother. Ha Basar De Isyal. This is after he was born. Dikanami. There's a diuk that supports this. Diktani Dumya Dikata. That it, because it says similar to an amputee, which an amputee, that's not a born with a deformity, that's an after a deformity. Shema Amina, we learn from this, indeed, that is the halacha. So just let's just clarify, take a step back, because there was a lot right there. There are two brachos that you'll make on a seeing somebody with some sort of deformity. If it is a deformity that they were born with, you say Mishana HaBrios, that like Hashem created this creature like this. If you see that it happened afterwards, you say Dayan HaEmes, to say, you know, whatever this happened to this person, because God, we trust God for it. Now, first of all, any Midos, for sure, I forgot which God I heard a story with, but when it comes to Midos, any of these brachas that you would make, you wouldn't make it out loud for the guy to say amen to. You know, look at a door for a blind person. Ah, Baruch Hashem, I get to say a bracha. Like, no, be a mensch. So obviously it's not coming at the expense of that. But the postman discussed. So what does this mean? If every time you see, let's say, a dwarf. I'm assuming, by the way, that is a politically correct term. I think the most politically correct term is like little people, but it sounds offensive to me. I think it's officially called dwarfism. But if anybody's listening and they don't like it, I mean to be as politically correct and sensitive as possible to all of these people that listen here. But if you see one of these people, is it every time? Some say it's only the first time. But what it really is ultimately is that it's where somebody is heavily emotionally impacted by something, meaning like I'm brought to the point where I have a theological challenge, in a sense, seeing somebody who has such a deficiency that I have to tell myself, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokim Elokim Hadayan HaMes, that I trust Hashem, that this person is blind for a reason, and this person, and I trust Hashem, and he has his own cheshbonos, and I'm not challenging that. Or if I'm like, I'm blown away by Hashem's bria, look at these different types of people he created, so mishana brios, but it's not like, if it doesn't take your breath away or really strike you, then it probably wouldn't apply. But, and even if it does, then you'd have to, again, ask a rav to get the details of the extent of that you would make each of these brachos. Okay, let's, and now another time of Mishana Brios, but somebody who sees an elephant, a monkey, or an owl. We had all of these in the past two balat, so there's a couple of times. Omer, you say Baruch Mishana Esabrios, another Esabrios, right? So what's this Mishana Esabrios? So these animals, so there's a machlokas poskim. If it's, these are examples, but really any interesting animals that you see, would you say this bracha, or do you just say it on these three in particular? Are there certain qualities about these three in particular that's a machlokas in the poskim? What about nowadays where people can just go to like a zoo whenever they want and look online whenever they want? Does that change? I don't know that. I imagine the poskim discussed that as well. But Mishana Brios is not just a human bracha, it's also bracha on animals. And now another bracha, Brios Tovos, you saw good creations, Vilanos Tovos, good trees, Omer Baruch Shekacho Lo Balamo. Blessed is Hashem that he has such things in his world. So you'll say this on really beautiful, breathtaking animals, humans as well, and trees and amazing sights. You say this, right? It's okay. Back to the Mishnah, analyzing the Mishnah. Alazikin. So you ought, right? So you make, there's a certain bracha. I think it was a shakalka grasa malei alam that you say on these zikin. So my zikin, what are zikin? Amar Shmuel kochva deshavit. It's a kochav, a star with like a rod, right? Like a shavit, a rod coming out. What's a star with a rod? Probably a shooting star, a comet, something like that. So if you see one of these, you say Shekachal Gros Malei Alam. The Amar Shmuel Mehirinli Shvili Deshmaya Kshvili Dinahardo. So this is a line that Shmuel says, talking about his astronomy, his knowledge of astronomy. He says that the paths of the heavens to me are like the paths of Neharda. Shmuel lived in Neharda. So he says, I know like the back of my hand. He was very knowledgeable in the stars, he knew them as well as the streets of Dinarda. Now, it could be he spent most of his time in the base medrash, so he didn't know what the streets were like so much either. But he said, at least, he didn't say, I know it like the base medrash. But he knew astronomy very, very well. He says, Lebar mikoch v'deshavid, except for that. Delo yadana mainihu, I don't know what it is. I don't understand these shooting stars or whatever that is. The Gemiri, when I learned, Delo avar kisla. It doesn't pass through kisla, which is some sort of Kisel Sholit Biyamos HaChamet, some sort of constellation of some sort of group or star, a group of stars. You can see Rashi there. We don't have a lot of time to go through it. Not that I'm an expert on this at all. I listened to some other, like, you know, top-notch Magide Shiurim of Daf Yomi to see how they explained this last bit, and like they just like translated the words, at least the ones I listened to. So, okay. The E of our Kisla, and if you pass through Kisla, Charav Alma destroys the world. If the star will pass through this Kisla, it'll destroy the world. V'ha kachazinan da'avar zive. But we see it happen. So that we, sometimes we see it happen that it does go through Kislev. No, davar zive hu davar meschazek davar. No, it's like the glow of it that comes from behind the star that makes it look like it's going through this Kislev constellation, but it's not actually going through it, because if it would, that would destroy the world. Okay. Rav Huna, Berater of Yeshua, Amar, Vilon hu demekareya demegalgal mechesi nehora derekia. Okay, so the Gemara Chagiga talks about there are these seven rekios, the seven skies, the seven heavens in a sense. The lowest one is Vilon, and rekia is like, I forgot, it's the second or third. And it has that's the one that has the sun, the moon, the stars in it, that sky. So we say over here that Vilon demikra nagagal is where Vilon is torn apart, umechse nahor de rekia, and the nahor, the light of the rekia, is seen through that, which I don't really know what that means. So that's either what Zikin arts machlok is, that could be definition of what Zikin is if you see Zikin, or that could be an explanation for how sometimes it looks like it's going through Kisla. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, Kochvahu de Akar mehai gisa de Kisla. So when a star is brought out of one side of Kisla, so V'chazi lechavre mehach gisa umivis, and it comes out from the other side. So it goes into one side, and it comes from the other side, umivis, and it gets scared, umechse keman de avar. And it looks like it went through, but again, it didn't go through. So these are just three explanations for the phenomenon of where of how sometimes it looks like this shooting star goes through Kisla, but it doesn't actually. Okay, so if you guys ever saw it and you're wondering how that could be, these are your three explanations. Okay, Shmuel Ramiksev. Shmuel asks a stira, Ose Osh Ksil V'chima. So he makes Osh and Ksil. Ksil is Kisla, by the way. That Ksil is the Hebrew word. And Kima. This is a pasuk. This is a pasuk in Eov. So what Hashem makes Uksiv, and the pasuk also says Ose Kima Uksil. So one pasuk mentions Kima and Ksil, and the other mentions Osh Kisa and Ksil. So Haketzad. So it's Pshat. Imale Chuma Shel Ksil. Well, in this kaim Olam of Neitzina Shel Kima. And V'yomale Tzina Shel Kima Lo Niskaim Olam Ipnei Chuma Shel Ksil. That because if it wasn't for the heat of Ksil, the world wouldn't be able to survive because of the coldness of Kima. Basically, that these things hold power over temperature, these stars and the way they're aligned. So if it wasn't, so basically one has extreme heat, one has extreme cold, and if it wasn't for the exact counterbalance of Ksil and Kima, the world wouldn't be able to handle either the extreme heat or the extreme cold. Which, by the way, is scientifically true. The exact position of the Earth, any closer or farther from the sun, we wouldn't be able to exist. So it's a more astronomical explanation of it, but it's the same reality. Ugmiri, and also we learned, Ilav uksa de akraba de manach binahar dinor. If it wasn't for the tail of the akrav is akrav, the scorpion, meaning the Scorpio, the constellation, if it wasn't for that tail of that, Demanach ben Har Dinor, placed on the river of Dinor, which is something mentioned in Sefer Daniel, if it wasn't for this exact position in the sky, Dehave Trika Le'akraba Lo Havecheya, the people who are bitten, who are stung or bitten by a scorpion wouldn't be able to survive. Basically, the exact placement of the tail of Scorpio is what allows people to be stung by a scorpion and sometimes survive. So, good to know. V'hainu Dekamar Le'Rachman Ali Eov, and this is what Hashem was saying to Eov, Haskasher madonos kima o moschos ksil tefateach. Right? Could you tie up kima or untie the shackles of ksil? Could you do such a thing? Right? Meaning that there's exact balance. Okay. My kima. What is kima? What's the word kima? Amar kimeya kochve. It's because this kima star is made up of 100 stars. Umri la dimekanfi, vamri la dimibadran. Some say that it's 100 stars that are separated, are gathered together, some that are separated. Okay, a little bit more. My ush, what is this ush? Umar of Yehuda, Yosa. Oh, great, it's Yosa. Thanks. Gemara asks, my Yosa, what is Yosa? Umri la zanav taleh. Some say it's the tail of taleh, which means lamb, sheep. right? Vamri la resha de egla, and some say it's the head of calf. Now, this calf is not really calf. It's actually called, in general, it's called shor in English or Latin, Taurus, right? The bull constellation. Tle is Aries, the ram. But usually I see it written as shor. Over here, it's called egla, which is interesting. It's called a calf. But it really is a Taurus. So anyway, that's what it is. So it's either the tail of the Tle or the head of Taurus of the shore. Umistaver command numbers enough Tle, but that one makes more sense. It's the tail of Tle. The pasuk says va'ayish al b'neha sanchem that Ayish, which is I think supposed to be Asher over here, is able to comfort you for b'neha for its children. No, you could comfort for her children. Alma, we see Chosra, it's Osh is lacking something. Umischazia, and it's seen Kitarfa de Tarif, which is that it's like pushed in or beaten in. Kitarfa de Tarif, Rashi says, Davarshu Chosra. So it seems like it's beaten in, so that must be that's the thing that's lacking in Ush, this beaten in tail of Aries. Okay. For those of you who know astronomy, you appreciate that a little bit more. Again, I apologize for the length. We'll do what we can for the future, Shiurim.